And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. Today we're going to talk about matters in Central Africa, Burundi, Rwanda, and our listeners will know we've been trying to understand what is going on, particularly with involving Burundi, where the United States has put a lot of pressure on that government, as they've done in other instances. They're calling for the president to step down, and there's economic steps been taken, embargo, et cetera, is preventing some of the high-ranking members of that government to travel. Not the kind of thing we encourage on this show. And at about 5:30, we're going to talk to Keith Bolander. Keith is the author of a couple of very good books on Cuba, and we thought it was a good time to be talking to him. One of his books, by the way, is have it in my hand, Cuba Under Siege, American Policy, the Revolution and Its People. So since Obama is in Havana, we're offering an interview with Keith Bolander for his instructions and also just to get an informed take on what is, as people always assume, there might be larger matters than just a visit, and what do the two parties expect to happen. And I recommend an article by Keith Bolander. You'll find it in Progresso, with one G, progressoweekly dot U.S. And it's Keith wrote this about, a couple of weeks ago, but it couldn't be more timely. And he's particularly going into the issue of the tendency for these kind of things to involve, particularly in the part of the Americans, false expectations. As you know, the New York Times and mainstream television in the U.S. will play this as, the lucky Cubans, and how much they want to be like us, and wait till they see the Rolling Stones, and wait till Hollywood comes, this kind of thing. And Keith argues that that's not a very accurate assessment of what the Cuban population has on their minds. And by the way, I can just tell you that this relations between these two countries could have been, well, never should have been broken. It was all in the U.S. on the U.S. side, and it could have been repaired at any time over the years. But because they send every country to obedience school, and when they don't get it, then they give them a hard time. I think we are joined now by Lebony Tazira. Are you there, sir?
Yes. Hi, Phil.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Well, we're very glad to be talking to you, Lebony, because, of course, you are originally from Burundi. You are following events in your country very closely. And last time we spoke to you, a kind of odd thing had happened, let's say unexpected. There'd been a lot of propaganda, a lot of media attention to Burundi, and a lot of demonization of the president, and a lot of hysteria about how there could be another genocide. They would call it another Rwanda. And the U.S. began to really heavily become involved, particularly through their ambassador to the United Nations, Ms. Powers, but also Belgium. And then out of the blue, the African Union said they were going to send 500 soldiers. And actually, the figure might have been larger. But then, not only did they say that, they said they would do it within 48 hours. And the government of Burundi, pardon this long introduction, the government of Burundi said, well, if you do that, we will regard it as an invasion, as any self-respecting sovereign country would. And it was anticipated that something really big was going to happen, but then it appears the African Union, must have been some phone calls went around, but they developed cold feet and began to say, maybe we should have a discussion about this. And all that has been sort of slowed down. But I wonder, where are we now with that? Because from Belgium, I read a lot of commentary, particularly that the government of Nkurunziza has to be changed and a whole bunch of things have to happen, or otherwise the European Union says they're going to turn off any economic support. What's your assessment of the crisis at this time?
So this crisis made from Belgium, from Brussels, mm-hmm. Clearly, it started a few years back. And just to summarize, this fake campaign about a third term, which is a legal term, mm-hmm. Was simply a campaign of regime change. And Belgium, through working with the military folks, all this information is coming out now that is after the fact. Mm-hmm. Belgium, working through some military friends they had, because they've always been working with the Burundi. They've always worked with the Burundi military since its creation. Mm-hmm. So they have a lot of connections in it. Mm-hmm. So Belgium was able to get together some influential generals to prepare a coup so that Burundi does not hold elections. Mm-hmm. Belgium is perhaps the most anti-democratic colonial power I know. Mm-hmm. They're the same ones who killed Patrice Lumumba in Congo. Mm-hmm. They organized his killing because he's very pro-democracy.
Yeah, they're very...
Burundi the same way too. Mm-hmm. They never complained, offense denied, when Ndadaye was killed, our first democratically elected president. They never condemned Burundi. They did nothing. Mm-hmm. But they supported the hardline regime. So the fact that Burundi has got a new democracy, I feel like they feel like they're losing more influence, and the influence on Burundi is going to the people. Mm-hmm. And that's not good news for them, apparently. So Belgium clearly organized the coup d'etat, because the big a lot of people who were part of the coup d'etat, somehow they got their visas and resettlement in yes. Belgium quickly.
Yeah, by the way, can I just mention, I mean, I did work in Africa for a number of years, and one thing I do know from taking the flight from Arusha through Dar es Salaam and on to Amsterdam is that when that plane lands in Europe, the Africans are scrutinized closely. There's two lineups. There's the Europeans, the white people are moving through the plane and up and into the airport. But there's a second line of people, mm-hmm. African, who are stopped. So if they, mm-hmm. and they go through a lot of scrutiny. So if these people involved in the coup were able to fly into Belgium, it means that, you know, they somebody was expecting them.
Oh, and you know what? To add salt to the wound, the Didier Reynders, the foreign minister, he's like the prime minister. He takes photos with some of the guys around him and posts them on their site. He posts them himself. I am with these people.
That the prime minister? The president? Who was it?
It's Didier Reynders. He's kind of he's like the foreign minister.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like the president of foreign affairs in Belgium. They have a weird kind of government.
Yes. They do so indeed.
He took a photo very well with some of the people who were involved in the coup. And it's all over the internet, yeah. You know, to tell them that, no, we support. And it's actually him. They keep pushing right now. They're pushing the government to negotiate with these people who committed the coup. The government has refused, saying that if we negotiate, if they come to the talks, we're just going to reward people who tried to take down a government,
mm-hmm.
Democratic government. It's not fair. They're against it. But so Belgium was really smart in running this campaign against Burundi, and in order to get allies against Burundi, they threw around the word genocide.
Yes,
the Rwandan genocide, telling mm-hmm. them, "Be careful. genocide is looming. Mm-hmm. And since they have good connections with Samantha Power, the media went wild over genocide in Burundi.
Mm-hmm.
And so the campaign against the people of Burundi was started last year, was thrown full-blown.
Yeah. Let me ask you, by the way, I find it remarkable that the simplest facts are staring them in the face, that you have a multi-ethnic government, you have multi-ethnic parties. This idea that, you know, you only have like a Hutu party and a Tutsi party, et cetera, that is inaccurate. And within the government, you actually, because of the Arusha Accords, which in the case of Burundi were actually implemented, it's a fantasy to talk about there's some sort of ethnic cleansing, et cetera, being planned.
I'm going to sound, it's going to sound a bit dumb, but Belgium does not like ethnic harmony in our countries. They do not like it. It's the Belgians who, in 1930, were giving out cards, divided us, first of all, between Hutus and Tutsis.
Mm-hmm.
The Belgians divided us between Hutus and Tutsis. They were measuring our noses, our heights, and classifying you left and right. If you had 10 cows, then you were considered a Tutsi, so you could be part of the ruling elites. And
well, they were trying to turn you into Belgians, right?
One thing you learn
when you go to Belgium is that they're rather divided themselves.
Divide and conquer.
So
yes. So they introduced cards, IDs, mm-hmm. that say Tutsi and Hutu.
Mm-hmm.
They brought that to our country. You know, when the since 22, they were there.
Mm-hmm.
They supported the military, weaponry, everything. They were there.
Yes.
You know, but for the first time now, the care about Burundi is when the country has ethnic harmony.
Mm-hmm.
When the country has democracy, now they say, no, you're not doing it right. Let's help you do it right.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we've had from Belgium throughout history has been bad.
But
I cannot point to you one good thing from Belgium. Mm-hmm. Everything is bad.
Yeah, and incidentally, they're implementing, right? I mean, despite, here you had this, following the visit of the United Nations personnel, including Samantha Powers, and I believe actually it wasn't Ban Ki-moon made a visit. Practically everybody's been there. There's an agreed process. There are talks. The Burundian government has been accommodating and allowed visitors to come. But despite that, my understanding is that the European Union is playing hardball. Now, are there no voices pointing out that they're actually going to, their goal would be to spoil any peace process?
So there's two things. First of all, the visit to Burundi, that was part of the alarm bells that were put out by Samantha Power and by Belgium. Samantha Power was presiding the Security Council when she called for the visit to Burundi, which it was a mountain that laid an egg. So
mm-hmm.
they went there. A lot of the members were expecting chaos, you know, be like a war zone like Libya.
Yes.
And they were surprised how they went country. The whole place, they went home late. People were still outside. Lives were normal. That really surprised a lot of members of the Security Council. You know, the president, one from Africa who came to Burundi, one of them left the same day saying this is it's a useless meeting because Belgium ran a very good campaign to spoil the image of Burundi, of the government, and it failed. And now, as far as the EU, of course the EU listens. The way the EU works, the EU, when it comes to matters of Africa, they refer to the colonial country. For example,
mm-hmm.
if the EU wants to work on Ivory Coast, they talk to France is in charge. If they want to talk to issues of Angola, Portugal is in charge. So for Burundi, unfortunately, Belgium is in charge of questions regarding Burundi.
Because they were the colonial power. That's considered their territory.
Yes.
Why isn't it a disqualifier? If you were the colonial power, why do you get to be the one?
Aha, that makes sense.
It's like French West Africa, right?
Yeah, but sadly, they'll say, like the French will say, we have been here for so many years. We have the knowledge of the area.
Yes.
Yeah, and so, like, Italians don't know nothing about Burundi. Yeah. Let's be honest. Yeah. Italians, the Swedish, they don't know anything about Burundi. So they will, so they will count on Belgium to give them information, because Belgium says, we know the civil society, we know everything. And so they tend to listen to the false news. So they actually,
by the way, the worst racial stereotypes are passed on by these people. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure you know this from better than I do, but I know that from working in Africa, is that when you meet Belgians and French and et cetera, you will get the strangest comments where they generalize about a people. Oh, no, oh, they're all like this, or don't give one a bottle of that, or, you know.
Yes.
And they consider that something they learned, being the colonial masters.
They seem to be superior because
of that. Well, of course, they cannot admit error. We're speaking to Lebany Tazira. I want to make sure I ask about the African role now. We got the impression, I want to know if you think it's true, that Tanzania seemed to be the country in the region with the most backbone and seemed to be also quick to discourage Europeans from butting in too much. And recently there was a visit from President Zuma from South Africa, and the Western media were very disappointed in Zuma that he didn't, you know, lecture President Nkurunziza. How are they holding up? Because it's clear to me the Europeans intend to keep the pressure on. Do you think that South Africa, Tanzania will be able to withstand this?
Okay, so two things. First thing, the EU, through Belgium, has cut all aid to Burundi. Mm-hmm. So, which I've been there many times. I don't see what they've done. I see more changes in Burundi through the community works, but I've never seen such change from the Europeans. You hear about millions coming in, but the country is still poor. Mm-hmm. So to me, the aid cutting, I actually support it, because I think it's only been poisonous, that aid. It's only been poisonous. And the government, actually, I read the budget, the entire budget. I had time. And in the whole budget, there's no money they count on coming in from Belgium, from France, from the U.S., or EU, or Netherlands. They took all that away, and they were able to balance the budget without aid money, which is an impressive feat for me.
It is an impressive.
And you know, we have to. I feel like aid goes to the top. Aid only fuels corruption, because it's not money that's earned. So,
well, yeah, as you point out, it's sort of hard to track, and ultimately the ones giving the aid, they have their eye on where it's going. They know when they've corrupted somebody.
Yeah, and they always win. They always win. You wonder, you hear about 100 million coming in, you don't see it. You can ask any of the villagers who are farming every day. 90% of Burundians are farmers. If you ask them, have you gotten any aid from the EU? They don't even know what EU means. Yeah. You know, so to me, it's a farce, and it's a way to, when they cut aid, they kind of cut the corruption money, and so leaders will usually crumble because they need that corruption money. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah. But apart from that, now we have so through Belgium, they've cut aid because Belgium said, if you can put in government, the guys who did the coup, then we'll give you back aid. Basically, they need to still have control in government. But the government of Burundi has stood firm and said, no, we won't do that. We have elected institutions.
Yeah. Do you get the impression that Africa, there is a maturing process here, that maybe we're approaching a time when they're going to actually challenge the Europeans on this business of blackmailing and trying to dictate how the matters are handled?
The Burundi case is going to be studied by other African nations. Little Burundi was able to fend off Belgium. Belgium, through the EU, pressured, and they even pressured the East African community that funds will be removed. They pressured them for the 5,000 troops because they were losing the war, the battle for Burundi. And the interesting thing in this case now is the African blocs, like the SADC, the East African Community, the ICGRL, that's mm-hmm. the Great Lakes region, they have become so strong and so unified that they were able to fend off any pressure from Europe. Yeah. This whole thing of East African Community, and especially, you have to remember, it was the SADC, the Southern African Community, that took out the M23 in Congo.
Mm-hmm.
They came together and said, as a member country, we are obliged to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they brought together troops from South Africa, Tanzania, and Malawi, and sent them to protect their brother country. That's never heard of in Africa.
Well, that raises, I got to raise the name that comes up in connection with that, and that is you do have a state there that has been invading its neighbors mm-hmm. and acting as sort of the cat's paw for the former colonial powers, and that is Rwanda.
Yes.
Now, relations have been pretty sour, and I've read and seen photographs of very large demonstrations in Burundi focused on what the conduct of Rwanda. What's going on there?
The Burundi government is accusing Rwanda of trying to destabilize the country since September 2014, when a rebellion from Rwanda attacked Burundi in the north province of Kayanza. And this is not only from Burundi, it's from Refugees International, it's from the UN Security Council experts, it's from the United States of America. I mean, it's overwhelming,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's really bad. It's I think the good thing about it now, and so there's pressure on him, on Rwanda, to stop training our refugees.
I notice that Rwanda, always regularly denies. By the way, when they invaded the Congo, they denied they were invading it. When they originally actually entered, the RPF entered Rwanda, they denied they had done that. They do this a lot. But I understand there was a pretty spectacular story of a Rwandan officer who was captured, and he was produced for the international media to talk to him. He said that he was working as a spy in Burundi.
Yes. He's one of me. If you follow Burundi social media, there's so many people coming from Rwanda, refugees from Rwanda. I mean, it's just right now. But it's just a matter of, again, regional heads and you pressure Rwanda to stop this.
Yeah.
And one thing I say about Rwanda is, once people want to act on their own, I think they have a backing on which doesn't.
Yeah.
Using them as a proxy. So the fact that for is very important, because before it used to happen in the Congo, and the media would keep quiet, nobody would talk about it. But now that it's been out there, it's very good, because now you have regional powerhouses like Tanzania.
Mm-hmm.
Who has said rapidly, you know, they would if Rwanda intervened in Burundi, they would step in.
Mm-hmm. This is Labani Tazira. And lastly, I want to ask you about this. There's apparently a kind of, you have some sort of reconciliation effort, because there was a long war, and of course you now have, under the Arusha Accords, you'd have a parliament, you elected president, but there is some. They wanted to set up something, I guess, resembling truth and reconciliation, and that apparently had been delayed. But is it now being implemented? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, the truth and reconciliation is modeled after the South African post-apartheid era, because
mm-hmm.
Burundi has had so many crimes and genocides and things since 1965.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is out. People are still alive. The killers are still out there. What they had before was a lot of the guys who tried to do a coup d'etat, guys who were against that truth and reconciliation. Belgium is against it, because Belgium implicated the truth and reconciliation, because there are many crimes that Belgium is part of since 1965.
Belgium didn't want this.
They don't. No, they don't want it. Oh, no, they don't want it. You know, the government this is a really pan-Africanist move by the government for it. You know, it's very positive for the victims. Mm-hmm. I myself, my family is a victim. You know, so we have many. There's so many millions of victims. Who
so is it going on? Are they televised? Do people make public meetings, or how do they do it?
Oh, yes. They're televised, many videos on YouTube. And what's going on right now, they're doing what they call consultation. They're going all over the country, every single district, to ask the population what they want, how they want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody has a say. They're working on a format.
You know, I have an idea for them. Perhaps they should invite Samantha Power to come and sit down and just be educated. Wouldn't that be an idea?
I don't think you can. Has your mind made up already?
We have given the Belgians a hard time, very appropriately, in the way you discuss it. But it is true, is it not? I mean, the U.S. administration has really been pushing this, and Samantha Power is not backing off, trying to disrupt and undermine your government in Burundi.
No, you know, this election comes soon and then she's out of office because she's been relentless. You know, she modeled, apparently she's part of the people who modeled the Libya and Syria invasion. Mm-hmm. You know, she has this theory of intervening
mm-hmm.
in places where there's no chaos.
Yes,
and she knows how to bring chaos.
Yes, sir.
And it's interesting when you look campaigns over here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's against all the people who are campaigning, apart from Hillary, are against what happened in Libya
mm-hmm.
and what happened in Syria.
Yes,
they see that it's a mistake, and Samantha Power almost did the same thing to Burundi. Mm-hmm. The good thing, I mean, it's bad for Libya and Syria. But thanks to history,
yes,
other African countries saw what happened in Ivory Coast, what happened in Libya, what happened in Syria, and they put the brakes on those troops. They put the brakes because of the recent history, sad history happening in those countries.
Yes.
As a direct result of the wrong interference.
Mm-hmm. You probably saw now everybody's talking about this latest interview with President Obama by Mr. Goldberg in the Atlantic Monthly, where apparently Samantha Powers was talking, and he interrupted her and said, "Yes, Samantha, enough. I've read your book."
Uh-huh.
So that, of course, there's another player here, and I wonder if there's a. If, may as well ask it. We'll end on this, but there is a Putin factor has arrived in all these matters. That the Security Council is not just sitting back anymore while people like Hillary and Samantha plan things. They're starting to push back.
Yes, and thank God for the Russians and Chinese at the Security Council. In the case of Burundi, they really prevented Burundi to turn into Libya and Syria.
Mm-hmm.
They really did a good job by turning down the... Because Samantha Power sold to the UN that Burundi was having a genocide. She mm-hmm. sold it to them. But thank God the Russians and Chinese didn't listen to the Burundi people, actually, and listen to the African countries who all said it's not true. And look right now, where a year later, where's the genocide?
Yes.
You know, last month, I'll say it again and I'll say it again, Burundi had about four killings in February, four. Chicago had 60 shootings.
Yeah.
People killed from gunshots, 60.
Yeah.
Chicago is 3 million people.
Yeah.
Burundi is 11 million people.
Well, if you could send 5,000 Burundian peacekeepers to Chicago, I'm in favor of it. Please, I think we should have a deal, because if they can reduce it, and apparently they can, they seem to be able to do their job as opposed to the Chicago police.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Well,
yeah.
Well, Lebanon, so, it's... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
No, I'll just say, and so I'm glad more burden for the Security Council right now to prevent a one-way... bus from Samantha Power's evil intentions for the Great Lakes region.
Yeah, I think her political career is days are numbered, actually. Lebanon, we're very grateful. It's very most informative, and we're going to be back in touch with you sometime soon, we hope.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, bye-bye. as Lebanon Tazira. And he is a Burundian and now lives in the U.S. where he can observe how peace is kept in the streets of Chicago as opposed to his actually peaceful home in Burundi. Anyhow, you're listening to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. We're going to be speaking shortly with Keith Bolander. We're going to take a break, give you some music, and we will be back with Keith.